All right. Well, good evening. My name is Bill Hart. I'm the outreach minister at Grace Community Church, and I have the privilege tonight of taking a few minutes to share with you this evening what God's laid upon my heart. I hope you've had a blessed day, but more important than that, I hope you've been a blessing along the way as well. With all that's been going on around here lately with the virus, and there's a lot of anxiety that's in people's hearts and wondering what tomorrow is going to bring. There's a lot of anger about rules that they don't want to follow and but that we should follow. There's a lot of sickness. There's been death. There's been a lot of things that has caused a great amount of misery all around us these last few months. And if you're a believer tonight, God has placed us here to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. People in our families, we need to be a blessing to them. Give them encouragement. People that we see now that we're back to work. People that we see day by day. Be something that can give them hope and a blessing as you interact with them, even if it is at a foot, 6 foot distance. But there's an old hymn that I remember. It says, "Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today." I've used that as something to think about these last months, the last 3 months at least, and I try to start my day each day repeating those to remind myself that not only am I seeking blessings myself, but I'm here to be a blessing and encouragement to others. So having said that, would you join me please in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the blessings that you have showed me today. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of you allowing me to rise up for another day. I thank you for the blessings of watching over me as I've traveled on the road today. I thank you for the blessing of being able to have good health. I thank you for the blessing of knowing that wherever I go, I do not walk alone, but you walk beside me. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of family, of a new girlfriend. And I thank you for all of that, and I give you the praise and honor for that. And now I pray tonight especially that you'll be with me, that you'll help me to share what I feel you've laid on my heart. I pray it might be true to your word, not just my words. And I pray that it might be, in fact, a blessing to someone's heart tonight. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how many of you know, but I was originally born in Rochester, New York. And whenever I tell somebody that, oftentimes they first start thinking about New York City with all the hustle and the bustle and the thousands of people and the traffic jams and all of that. But New York State is not all about just New York City. There's farmland and there's people that have very ordinary lives. We even have mountains up there, the Adirondack Mountains. And when I was a little child growing up, my dad and my mother and my sister and myself, every August we would go to the Adirondack Mountains. And from a very early age, I had a great interest and thrill about mountains. And I wanted so much to climb a mountain. My dad was not a climber, and he definitely didn't like hiking and all that kind of thing. So all I had in my early childhood was a dream that one day I would be able to climb a mountain. And I remember that I was about, I guess, 8 or 9 years old, and we went up to the Adirondacks every year. So over a period of time, my dad and mom made friends with some families that were up there, that lived up there. And we would spend some time in their homes every year as we went up for vacation. And one time we were sitting around with one family, and the husband of that family's name was Pete. And in the middle of supper, he looked at me and said, "I've been talking to your dad. I hear you like mountains." And I said, "Yes, I love mountains. I want to climb a mountain someday." And Pete said, "How'd you like to climb a mountain tomorrow with me?" And that was like saying "sic 'em" to a dog. I was ready to go immediately. I was so excited. I couldn't sit down anymore. I couldn't eat any more supper. We finally got ready, and we went back to a cabin that we were staying in. And I didn't sleep a bit that night. I didn't even take my clothes off. I took my shoes off, got in bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. And I was waiting to see the sun come up out the window that I could get up and be ready to go. And 6 o'clock came around, and I got up, and I ran into my parents' bedroom, and they were still asleep. And I said, Dad, where's Pete? And he said, "What time is it?" And I said, 6 o'clock. He said, "Pete said he wasn't going to be here till 9 o'clock. Go back to your room." So I went back, and I had all that enthusiasm. And finally, Pete showed up, and I ran out, said goodbye to my mom and dad, and got in his truck, and off we went to climb a mountain. And about 30 minutes later, we got to the parking place where they parked the cars for people who were interested in hiking up the mountain. And I jumped out of the truck, and I ran to where the beginning was, and I heard Pete say, Bill, stop. There's got to be some rules here. If we're going to climb the mountain, we got to do it together. And we got to register so that they'll know that we're here. So we went through all that, and we started to climb the mountain. We got going. It wasn't too hard. The ground was hard. It had been beaten down year after year as people had hiked up that mountain. And it wasn't too long into the hike that we started to have an incline. And it got just a little bit harder to climb. And then we went a little further, and that dirt path became some rocks that we had to maneuver around or go over in order to pick up the path on the other side of them. And we'd go on a little bit further, and it got a little steeper, and I was getting hotter, and even as an 8 or 9 year old boy, I was having a hard time keeping the enjoyment headed in the right direction. And we went a little bit further, and pretty soon there were some rocks that we not only had to walk across, but we had to climb. We had to find out how to hold on to them in order to get on the other side. And about 45 minutes into the hike, I was exhausted. Just even as an 8 and 9 year old boy with all that energy, I was zapped. And I turned to Pete and said, "I think I've had enough. We need to turn around and go back down." And it was at that time that Pete took his hands and he put them on my shoulders and said something that I never have forgotten. Here's what he said. He said, "Bill, never let the mountains rob you of victory. Never let the mountains rob you of victory." He said, "We only got about 10 more minutes and we'll be on top. I'm going to walk beside you instead of behind you. And when we get to the places where you're having trouble, when you're a little scared, I'll take a hold of your belt and I'll pull you up so that you'll be able to get over the obstacles." And he was right. About 10 minutes later, we were on top of the mountain. And it was a big, long boulder that was flat like a kitchen table. And we got up there and sat down, and the breeze came and took care of my perspiration, and my legs got to rest some, and it looked like we could see for thousands and thousands of miles. It was a beautiful, beautiful sight. These days, we use the term mountains to describe things that we're having to go through, that is trying to get the best of us. There's an old song, I guess it was a country western song, although I'm not positive about that. It says, "Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave." One thing you can be sure of tonight, and I'm sure that all of you that are listening will agree with, and that is we're going to face some pretty steep mountains as we go through our life. There's going to be problems that have to be solved, obstacles that have to be overcome, burdens that we're going to have to learn to bear. We don't have to look far before we see mountains all around us. Death is a mountain. Loss of a job is a mountain. Sickness is a mountain. The coronavirus has been a steep mountain that we've had to deal with. And I think it's important that Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 17. He says, if we have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, we can say to a mountain, be moved, and it shall move. Now, the thing that interests me there is this, that he said that to his disciples because they had witnessed him for 3 years ministering and teaching them to carry on his ministry when he would not be there any longer. For 3 years they had been with him, and still he said they could not do what he was doing because they didn't have a strong enough faith. We can deal with our mountains that we're going to face in life if we have a strong faith. Over in Luke, the chapter 12, verse number 31, I want to read this for you. Verse 31, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Again, there's a hymn that I used to sing. It says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He will not fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. In the few minutes that I have to share with you tonight, I want us to see if we can see that faith may not change our outer circumstances, but it changes our inside, looking out at the circumstances. That's the first thing I'd like for us to look at tonight. Faith in God in the midst of our circumstances makes all the difference in the world. Now, when I went to school, I was not what you'd call a great student. My sister was 1 year older than I was, and I would always follow up with the same teachers that she had the year before, and she was a straight-A student. So here I come into the classrooms, and they think, boy, here comes Bill. He'll be just like his sister. And they couldn't have been any further from the truth. School was a social event that I went to, and learning was a side, kind of a sidebar. But there was one class that I really did enjoy, and that was history. And on our history class 1 year, we had to write a paper on some historical person. And for some reason, I chose Hannibal. Hannibal was the man who was the Carthage general, who was a great statistician, a great thinker. And his men had such a confidence in him that they would follow him in anything that he would do. And Hannibal was given the responsibility of attacking the Roman army, the strongest army known to man in that time. But they were going to have to do it in a way that Rome wouldn't know. They were in Rome, the army was. And they had put up fortresses in the south and fortresses in the east and fortresses in the west. But they had no fortresses in the north because they said no army could ever enter into Italy over the Alps and the Pyrenees Mountains. The only problem was they didn't know about Hannibal. The men who followed Hannibal that day were 40,000 soldiers. And as he prepared to make the trek into Italy across the Alps and the Pyrenees Mountains to surprise Rome on the only way that they had not protected themselves. Every day as they prepared, Hannibal would stand before 40,000 men and he would say, "I see no mountain. I see no mountain." And then they would make their preparation for that day. And then again and again, "I see no mountain. I see no mountain." And finally, as he was prepared, everything was ready. They had complete trust in Hannibal. And 40,000 men gathered together. And he stood before them and he said, "Forward, march." And the whole 40,000 soldiers responded, "We see no mountain." And they began their trek across the Alps, at the Pyrenees Mountains, starting out with 40,000 men. History says that when they finally crossed the last mountain to go down and invade the Roman army, that there were 26,000 men that were left. 26,000 men that were left. I said all of that to say this. I believe that when we are facing our steep mountains, time after time after time again, there are times in our life when by faith in God, we must say, "Forward, march, I see no mountain." In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, and he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 6, let me read it for you. Verse number 6, he says, "So we are always confident that even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with God, for we live by believing and not by seeing." I think the King James says we live by faith and not by seeing. There are times in our life when the mountain looks so big that we have to have a strong enough faith in a living God by a day-by-day dependence upon Him, that when the high mountains come, we begin to wonder, and there comes a time we must say, "Forward march, I see no mountain." Again, there's a hymn that we used to sing. It said, "All the way my Savior leads me. What do I have to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him." Did you get that? "Here by faith in him to dwell." That's where we take up our residence, by faith in him to dwell. "For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well." For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. I have a dear friend that has bone cancer. And they've had it now for over 3 years. When I see this person, there's a smile on their face. And it makes me ashamed because I know this person has constant pain. Day after day after day, their life is a life of pain. And yet when I come to see them, there's smiles. There's a time for kidding around. And I've seen this person as they've gone to the hospital and sat for 4 and 5 hours having an IV chemo treatment and coming back hardly able to put their legs in the car to get on the way home. And yet I would see them the next day and there would be a smile on their face. And I said to them one time, I said, "How can you do it? How can you go through what you're going through day after day after day, sometimes with no sleep at night, sometimes with constant pain, unable to almost get out of a chair?" And that person said to me, I have faith in God for today. And he's always showing up. He's never failed me yet. And then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, fear came to my door, my heart's door, one day. And I sent Jesus to answer it. And when Jesus opened the door, fear was nowhere to be seen. When fear comes into your life, what do you go to? Who do you depend upon? When fear comes knocking at your heart's door, I suggest to you, you allow Jesus to answer the door. Because when Jesus answers the door, fear is not going to be there anymore. Faith can transform our outlook on our mountain as we look at it instead of from the outside in. We look at it in faith from the inside out. But then there's a second thing I want us to look at tonight, and that is the fact that faith can enlarge our possibilities in life. I told you a while ago I was not the best student in school, and there was one class that I took that I had to take that verified that statement, and that was math. I had trouble adding, let alone doing equations and all those things that you had to do. But I do remember, I think, one thing about equations. And that is, if you change one variable in a problem, you change the outcome of the equation. When we factor God into life's equation, the outcome has got to change. Faith doesn't constrict our possibilities. Faith in God entering into our mountains enlarges the possibilities that can be had, because God is now in charge of the possibilities and no longer me. When we pray, we're asking God by his grace to move in any way that he chooses to move to bring about a conclusion. Now listen to this. That he wants. When we have God in our life daily, we're still going to have problems. But with God there, there's always possibilities. Before creation, there was nothing. But God authored a new possibility. And he said, let there be, and there was. For Israel, they were hopelessly in slavery in Egypt. But God had a new possibility. And he caused Pharaoh to say, let my people go. Pharaoh's army thought they had the Jews captured at the Red Sea, but God had another possibility, and he separated the Red Sea that the Jewish people could go across the Red Sea. And when the Egyptian army came to capture them, the waters came down and destroyed the army. There was a new possibility that day. When Mary, a virgin, had not had relationships with Joseph, but God needed a woman to bear his son. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to Virgin Mary. God had a new possibility. And the Lord Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, grew to be a man, completely man, completely God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Satan sat back and clapped his hands and said, oh boy, I've won. But God had another possibility, because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering the grave, and sending Satan to go back where he came from and be stripped of any power for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith can change our outward look on our problems, our mountains that we're going through. Faith can enlarge the possibilities of life. But tonight, thirdly, faith can move mountains because it connects us with the mountain mover. Have you ever noticed? There used to be, I think it was a Disney program called Bear. I've forgotten what the guy's name, but they called him Bear. But anyway, he was a mountain man. And I used to watch that quite often. I believe that our Lord God is a mountain man, because some great things happened when God was on the mountain. God commanded Abraham to take his son Isaac, who he loved dearly, and sacrifice him to God on Mount Moriah. And Abraham was faithful to take Isaac up on the mountain. He was faithful to bind him onto the altar. He was faithful to take his knife and follow God's command and raised it to kill his son. But at that moment, God had sent an angel and a ram. And because of Abraham's faithfulness, Isaac was spared. The ram was sacrificed, and God was glorified. God met Moses on Mount Sinai. Jesus was transfigured on a mountain. Jesus was crucified on a mountain called Golgotha. God can make mountains, and I believe with all of my heart, God can move mountains as well. The next time you face your mountain, or maybe you're facing a mountain right now, tell that mountain, we serve a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We serve a God who is going to help and direct and cause my mountain to be defeated. Going to cause my mountain to move. If I leave you with anything tonight, I want to leave you with this. Tell your loneliness tonight that the God of comfort says move. Tell your frustrations tonight that the God of harmony says move. Tell your turmoil that you're going through tonight that the God of peace says move. And tell your poor health tonight that the God of healing says move. In the name of the Lord Jesus, get out of the way. Move, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Hebrews called God El Shaddai, the God of the mountains. Tonight, I want to leave you with this thought. There is a God that is greater than any problem you're currently going through. There is a God that is greater than any difficulty that you have. Faith can change our inner outlook on our mountain. Faith in a God can create new possibilities. But most of all, faith connects us to the God of the mountains. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for the time we've had together. I ask, Lord, that you might have said something through me that might have touched the heart of somebody who needed to hear it. I give you praise and honor and glory for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.